Dear supporters of BLC, if you adore BLC and our free Black History and audiobook content, donate via Patreon or get a print copy of the world-famous art pieces, The Marrow of Tradition by Charles Chestnut and Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs, bound together into just one practical book. The Marrow of Tradition by Charles Chestnut and Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs, bound together into just one practical book. In the link below. The Chantel
Show. He started off singing as a little boy in church and transformed into a young man who slowly grew into his deep voice as he recited Martin Luther King's speeches, first to his church family, then all across the nation.
Let me ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let me ring from every hill and lone hill of Mississippi.
He shared the stage with legends such as Maya Angelou and even Miss Rosa Parks herself. Growing up in the inner city in St. Louis, Missouri, singing in the church choir, David Anthony Johnson did not yet know the impact that he would have on audiences across the nation as they marvel in his magnificent orations of Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches with the same powerful diction and cadence that Dr. Martin Luther King had during America's fight for civil rights.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners one day be able to sit down together at the table of justice. I have a dream.
Like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, David Anthony Johnson is also a minister, preaching the word of God wherever he goes.
He acts this way because God spoils him. So there has been a wage now, a challenge. So Satan wanted God, in essence, to feel like God made a mistake in making man. That there would be no way that man could love God on his own.
Oh, but his talent doesn't stop there. David Anthony Johnson is also a singer. He grew up sharing the stage with Grammy Award-winning artist and R&B singer Brian McKnight. However, David has chosen to use his talent to sing for God.
So when you perform, there's such a presence about you. There's really a presence about you. So what do you do to mentally prepare for your performances?
Pray, and then pray again. It starts with prayer. It's prayer in during, and it's prayer afterwards. That's the first part. And it's all the preparation. It's the preparation that counts. After the prayer, you hone, you know, your gift, you know, because these are just, you know, abilities loaned to us from the Most High. You know, He has given it to us to see what we will do to give it back to Him. And so the better we take care of it, you know, the better He will bless us with more. So it's about practicing. And that with prayer and practicing, that's the best way that I use to prepare. And it's not me on there, because I say, hide me behind the cross and let the Holy Spirit be shown in me. So it's like I move to the side and He takes over. Because I'm not good at practice. I'm not a good practice person, whether it's musically, whether it's reciting a Dr. King speech or going over a sermon. I don't do well. So that shows what I can do on my own. But when I pray the prayer of Him to increase in me and me to decrease in self, then what happens is the Holy Spirit takes over, and that's the Holy Spirit that's doing that.
Yeah. And that confidence that you have, I believe that a lot of young people, well, young or old, can grow in that area. So what did you do to gain that confidence?
Well, in today's society, everything is about me. Look at me, whether it's in the rap world, whether it's in the entertainment world, it's individualized, what I can do, I. And we know that disease, started with Lucifer, you know. He thought he was beautiful. Why can't I be above the Most High? Why can't I? So whenever I'm tempted to, when people say, oh, you did such a one, to God be the glory. Well, I say Yahweh. To Yah be the glory. Because if we get that eye disease, that's a slippery slope. We fall. But as long as we know that He is the one that establishes everything, and when we get that, then you can see that any confidence I have, it's because of Him. And if it's not Him, then I have nothing. But with Him, I have everything. So when they see me, I want them to know this is what happens when one allows Yah to take over. They can do great things. So what they see in me is Him. Is Him. So my confidence is because of my faith in Him and my trust in Him and what He has given me. Then that's the confidence I have. It's in Him. Yes.
That's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And you've been performing since you were a little boy. So can you tell us about how you began performing and what encouraged you to do that?
I remember starting the children's choir at the age of 4. I come from a very musical family. So, you know, to develop my musical skills and abilities was very easy. My mother sang, my sister, my aunt played the piano, and she would sing, and my cousins. So we had our family would sing and travel from place to place. So music came very easy in our family. You know, so being young, I started about 4 in the children's choir, but then about 7 or 8, I was doing solos, and the pastor would play for me, my aunt would play for me, and I was doing hymns, like or songs of those times in the 70s, I'm dating myself, but it would be more like a heaven came down and glory filled my soul, or it only takes a spark to get, so they would make sure I would know those songs, and then it was more like, oh, that's so cute, when I get up and sing it, but the pastor's wife, Mona Young, she started to try to develop my vibrato. You know, and so I learned it at a young age. Kids used to laugh at me. Oh, you sound like an old man. And so I would get laughed at a lot. But as I got older and older and older, the laughs started, you know, decreasing. And people started taking you more seriously. But I would say 4 when I started singing solos in the children's choir. But at the age of 7, I was starting to do my own solos in church. And then from there, it just took off. And 18, I started doing it professionally at 18. Yes.
And can you tell us about your grandmother? Because I remember you talking about your grandmother and how she encouraged you to learn the Martin Luther King speeches. And can you tell us about that?
Yes, my great-grandmother. My grandmother passed 10 years before I was born. So my great-grandmother became like the mother and the grandmother and the father to all of us. And she's the apple of my eye because of her, I learned so many things about life. Her father was a slave. She was born in 1902. Her father was 7 years old when Lincoln freed the slaves in 1863. So she was, you know, practically and technically the generation after slavery. So that, her experience, she taught me. And most of my other family members, they thought, oh, that old lady, I don't want to learn nothing from her. But I wanted to learn. I had that spirit that the Lord put in me where I wanted to learn from her. And so she would, I just would watch her walking around the house. I'd watch her putting on Mahalia Jackson albums. And she's the one that would play Martin Luther King's albums when his voice would scare me. And so because I loved her and because she said, if you love me, you will learn these speeches. There was a rap because she knew I loved her. I knew I loved her. So I knew I had to learn those speeches because I wanted to make her happy. And so she always told me, wake up early in the morning and do what you have to do. Treat people right. Be respectful. Love the Lord and put Him first. When people do wrong to you, let the Lord handle it. They'll get it back. And she instilled into me life lessons. And that if I didn't, she always used to say this to me and it used to scare me. If you don't use your talent, she'll clean that bum up off the street and he'll be using your talents. So you better use it. And then you better teach him the love of God while you're using it. So both of you guys can make it in. So You know, she was a wonderful lady.
That's beautiful. And was your voice always as majestic?
No. When I was a kid, when I started to do the King's Speech and when I would sing, I sounded like a little 7-year-old girl. And when I would do the I Have a Dream speeches, I could remember I would, "Free at last, free at last." Everybody would laugh, including my great-grandmother who started it. But it was my aunt that would show me the Eyes on the Prize videotapes. And the videotapes gave me the opportunity to not only hear Dr. King, but to see him. And I could see his mouth moving. And although it didn't help me with my tone, it helped me to imitate him better. And the good Lord allowed for me to mature and my voice to drop, so I was able to put it all together at that time. But all I did was do the technical work. All of it is a gift from him.
And you do so many things. So can you tell us a little bit about what all you do so people can really get a grasp of it?
I singing is my passion, contemporary gospel singing. I do a lot of wedding music, you know, ballads. I love music is my passion. Music is what really defines me, is music. Also, I do orations of Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches. Most of his famous speeches I know, and sermons I know word for word. And also I do motivational speaking. As a former correction officer, I try to motivate young people not to end up where I worked in a juvenile facility here in San Bernardino County. And also I preach the word. You know, however the Most High gives to me. I was a theology major in college. But more than that, the Most High has opened me up and filled my experiences and mixed it with my testimonies and the knowledge that I had of the word and that I keep feeding myself each day as I read the Bible through. So with the combination of me reading the word through and also my experience and my testimony, he's given me a word. So I feel like I'm doing him an injustice if I hold it in. So I have to preach it. I have to tell somebody how good he has been to this sinner man. And I can't keep it in any longer. I used to try. But my experiences and the fact I see my humanity, my sinful nature, and that he could still love me like he does, in spite of myself, I got to tell somebody just how good he is. So that's why I preach now. I preach, I sing, and I do Dr. King oratory. And I pride myself as a Christian comedian. You know, I try to make people laugh through my experiences and whatnot. So that's another thing that I'm working on as well. Okay. I also write. And so most of my songs are original songs, and I want to do more of the writing. So my nonprofit is called Five Talents More, and it's from the passage there, Matthew 25, with the talents. And so I believe he's given me more talents. So I want to use everything that I have to give back to him and be an example to others who have talent. Well, if he's using his, well, then I can use mine. So I want to be a mentor to those who are out there wondering, what do I do with what I have? They can see me and see what I'm doing, and then I can be a mentor to them. So that's what it's all about.
To watch more of my exclusive interview with David Anthony Johnson, click on the video on the left side of your screen. In part 2, he expresses why he chose singing for God over secular music. He also explains what it was like growing up singing with Brian McKnight. And I ask him my long-awaited question, what was it like to perform for civil rights legend Rosa Parks? You don't want to miss this.
Dear supporters of BLC, if you adore BLC and our free Black history and audiobook content, donate via Patreon or get a print copy of the world-famous art pieces The Marrow of Tradition by Charles Chestnut and Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs, bound together into just one practical book. The Morrow of Tradition by Charles Chestnut, and Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs, bound together into just one practical book in the link below.